guest today is Peter Eichstadt. His websites are petereichstadt.com and petereichstadt.blogspot.com. His last name is spelled E-I-C-H-S-T-A-E-D-T. And he's been discussing his book, his upcoming book, which will be out on April 1st, 2013, called Above the Din of War, Afghans Speak About Their Lives, Their Country, and Their Future, and Why America Should Listen. And I do hope that people will listen. I have had another author on a few times by the name of Dr. Meraki, and he wrote a book. His name is Dr. Mohammed Meraki, and he is was an Afghan citizen. He left his homeland in 1982 with what was left of his family. More than a dozen of them had perished during the Russian onslaught. And he goes back several times. He's been back maybe a dozen times. And he wrote a book called Democracy, A Death Sentence. The name of his book, Afghanistan After Democracy. And people simply haven't been buying the book as you would have expected them to do. I tried to place a couple copies in some local libraries here, and they didn't want them. They said, oh, no, they're too graphic. And so I do hope that people will listen to you, to listen to or read your book. Hope that they will purchase the book and reevaluate things, because, honest to Pete, we are the enemy, and I believe we've been an enemy for a good long time, at least since the end of the so-called Civil War, when we started shooting up the Indians.
Yeah, well, that's, again, that's one of the points that I do raise in my book, is that, you know, this thrust that we have of the, you know, the propaganda mill goes into shape, and we're going to bring democracy to Afghanistan. And you know, like this, your friend, the doctor there, said, is like, this may not be the best thing for Afghanistan. You know, they don't have a democratic tradition. You know, this, the kind of government that we have is may serve. You know, it's grown out of centuries of precedent. You know, and it may serve Western culture as well, but it's not the kind of thing that always fits well. And the people in Afghanistan who I talked to, I mean, said that point blank. And they said, well, you know, it sounds like a good idea, and it may work for you guys, but it's not the kind of thing that doesn't fit into our culture. It doesn't fit into our value system. It doesn't fit into our traditions necessarily. And my opening chapters there is where I write about the parliamentary elections, which were held in the fall of 2010 there, and it was a virtual three-ring circus. The Taliban was really took advantage of this situation, and they were, almost a third of the polling stations were closed down because of Taliban violence and threats.
Gosh, that sounds like this country.
And it was. But yeah, it was just amazing. I mean, then to watch the lunacy unfold on that day. You know, I visited a number of polling stations, and it was just absolutely crazy. And the police had no control of what was going on in the votes. The people that had been hired by the election commission to actually administer the polling stations, they had no control. I mean, there were kids coming in with voting cards, and even though the voting age was 18, and it wasn't just a few, just in the couple hours that I stayed at one of the polling stations, we had, you know, a dozen people show up with fake cards. I mean, it was just one.
At least they had cards.
It was just a travesty, complete travesty.
All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, removing dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air. Destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
And our guest today is Peter Eichstadt, and the website is petereichstadt.com and petereichstadt.blogspot.com. And he's been discussing Above the Din of War. Afghans speak about their lives, their country, and their future, and why America should listen. And that's due to come out in April of 2013. And I do believe that you can pre-order that book.
Yeah, I think it's going to be available soon if it's not already on certainly on Amazon.
Okay.
But you know, one of the things I wanted to circle back on was that you mentioned earlier was you know, the way the United States has treated people going way back, and you mentioned Native Americans, and that's one of the things that. One of the situations that motivated me to write that first book I did, which was looking at the uranium miners on the Navajo Reservation who were exposed to extremely high levels of radiation, you know, while working in the uranium mines. And the U.S. government knew full well what was going to happen to these guys and to these miners, and did absolutely nothing. And it was the problem wasn't, although I focused in my book, it's called If You Poison Us, which is a line from Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice.
Oh, yes, that's right, it is, yes.
Yeah, poison us, do we not die, you know, if you prick us, do we not bleed, et cetera,
yes.
et cetera.
It's of course, he was talking about the Jews, Shylock talking about the Jews at that point, though.
Right, yeah, that's what his plea for... for better treatment, but And that's why, you know, the publisher came up with that title, which I really loved. And the thematically, that's what exactly, you know, what led me to the book was that, you know, here these native people had lost their homelands. They've lost their way of culture. They, today even, they continue to be at the lowest, the bottom rung of society. They have the highest poverty rates, the highest, death rates, lowest health care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, I was just really, dismayed, you know, when I saw what had happened on the Navajo Reservation with the extensive and uncontrolled uranium mining that had occurred there. And you actually
visited that reservation.
Oh yeah, I spent an inordinate amount of time there, and it was where I established kind of my routine of behavior, where I spent a lot of time visiting the villages. I visited miners in their homes, and the families of the miners who had died. We went to former mines. We looked at the conditions, and then of course I supplemented all that with extensive research and documentation of all what had happened. And it was a real tragedy. And the one of the, you know, things like you alluded to with the way we treat people is that even, you know, I haven't been the only person to write a book about this situation. And even though there's been a lot of a hue and cry about what happened and the devastation that was wreaked on the Navajo Reservation, and, you know, a lot, you know, allocations of millions of dollars to clean up the uranium mines and the waste and the water that's been contaminated there. Even though that money's been allocated, very little has actually been done. Very little has changed. The Navajo people are still suffering from the devastation that was caused by uranium mining there.
Right. And of course, they're suffering on all of the reservations. I've been to Pine Ridge and Rosebud. And you say, I mean, the living conditions are terrible. They have no manufacturing, no jobs, high alcoholism, low mortality rate for children. I mean, it's just horrific.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, and that's it is literally a third world country living within our borders, and it's virtually ignored. You know, technically and legally, Native Americans are according to the U.S. law, they're not wards of the state per se, but they, in exchange for them having some degree of autonomy on the reservations, the United States has agreed to ensure their adequate, care, I guess you could say. And,
they're in open concentration camps, really. I mean, they are provided housing, but if you are given something, if the government builds a house for you without you really putting in any effort, then you're not going to really take care of the house. I was in some homes in Pine Ridge, and this has been some years ago. I guess it's just a feeling of utter hopelessness.
Which is unfortunate. There's a lot of really strong, smart, and capable Native Americans, but there's this collective sense of defeat, of a defeated people. And
right.
It really, really dominates the psychology on most Native American communities, which is, I think, is very unfortunate because it really shouldn't be like that. You know, I think everybody deserves a break and an opportunity to do well, but the situation for on the reservations is just particularly tragic since it occurs in the midst of a land of plenty.
Right, and it's so generational. And it started right after the so-called Civil War. And so it's a very difficult situation to break free from. Yeah. And really, they're in a worse situation than than blacks in this country.
Yeah. People don't realize that they really are in the bottom rung of society, and it's very undeserved. I mean, if I could, I could link it with the topic that we talked about the last week, which was the work I'm doing on a book, a forthcoming book on the U.S.-Mexican border. And I was down on the Tohono O'odham reservation, which is in southern Arizona, and this is another aspect of the border story that hasn't really been discussed much, but that because the it used to be known as the Papago, but the name Tohono O'odham is the preferred term for the native community that's right there on the border. And anyway, that their reservation actually extends across the border into Mexico, and because of that, they have a minimal border security there, and as a result of that, they've become a real focal point for a lot of in-migration of, illegal immigrants, and then also drug smuggling. And it's really starting to have a, like many of the private ranchers along the border, it's starting to have a real safety impact on the lives of the people there.
Oh, but
like many other people, like many other situations there along the border, it's being virtually ignored.
Right. It is just a very sad, sad thing. And if the U.S. government really, really wanted to help a people, they ought to start at home and stop working for the corporations, because essentially that's what they're doing.
I couldn't agree more. Like I said, as we were talking about earlier about Afghanistan, I mean, it's a very frustrating situation. And I feel very much the same way, is that we have so much work to do here at home. What are we running around the world conducting these questionable wars for?
Exactly.
But on the other hand, with Afghanistan, I mean, it's like, my God, we've spent, well over $1 trillion there fighting this war. We've shed a lot of American blood and spent a lot of time and effort there. And for what? We're just going to pull up and go home? It just doesn't sit right with me. It's just, I don't think it is right. I think there's a moral problem there.
Right. We shouldn't have been there to begin with. And of course, it was all initiated through the events of 9/11. And I think anybody that really evaluates that situation will come away realizing that was a big hoax, and that it certainly was not, we should not be believing the government's version, because it just couldn't have happened the way that they are portraying it as. And when you look at all of the wars, whether you're talking about Pearl Harbor, in which the government and which Roosevelt and Churchill both knew was going to happen, they provoked it, and watched the Japanese from the time they left Japan all the way to Pearl Harbor, knowing that they were going to bomb and that American citizens would be killed. Same thing with 9/11. And, all these false flag events. And what do we have after them? We have more tyranny here at home while we go and spread what they call democracy elsewhere. It's a big farce.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some callers lining up. Why don't we go ahead and take a call?
Okay, great.
All righty, and we're just about to go to a break, but let's say hi to Sherry in Kansas, and then we'll hold her over the break.
Hi, y'all.
All right. Yeah. Okay, that's what you get to say hi, and then we're going to break. Be right back in 3 minutes.
In
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, Infection Killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung Formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great-tasting herbal teas, and more. Michael Anthony's Private Stock Exclusive Herbal Formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's Private Stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's Private Stock Exclusive Herbal Formulas.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Our guest today is Peter Eichstadt, and we have Sherry that just was able to get in a hi before we went to the break. Sherry, you have a question?
And a comment. I heard one researcher say that the reason that the production of poppies went down in Afghanistan, I think it was around 1999 and 2000, was that the Taliban or whoever was in control of the production, they were negotiating for a better price, and the people who were buying it didn't want to give them a better price, so they cut the production. Now, to me, that sounds more likely because I just don't find people that are trying to dominate other people, that drugs have always been a big source of money for militaries and governments and stuff. A few years back, I read a book by Eric Margolis, who writes for, I think he was writing for the Toronto Star at the time, and he's supposedly been reporting on that part of the world for a long time, for like 25 years, and the book was War at the Top of the World, and he claims that when the Soviets were in there, they really heavily mined Afghanistan, and I wonder if Peter would, is that true?
Well, I think I don't know exactly. You know, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to accurately and you know assess the way the price of opium goes. But I think your assessment is pretty logical. You know, the Taliban at the time, that was one of the moral questions that I posed to a lot of these growers, and I'd ask them, are you a good Muslim? And, you know, Islam says no alcohol, no drugs. And I said, how do you justify growing this? Because you're obviously participating in something that's against the Quran, it's forbidden by the Quran. And they said, well, the reason we grow it is because the Taliban has said this will damage, you know, it's a poison to the Western world, which is corrupt and immoral. So that's, it's okay because you're actually, by growing poppies, you're conducting jihad against the West. And, you know, I think, you know, with the Taliban thinking like that, I think your conclusion is probably pretty close to the reality, is that, you know, they wouldn't, you know, they were able to control the amount of poppies that were being grown, even after, I mean, you know, before the U.S. came there and subsequently even. And I think probably the reason they manipulated the supply, in other words, the amount that was being grown, is just so they could also manipulate the price. Because the lower the less supply, and considering that there's a constant demand, then the price is going to go up. So I think, you know, you have a good assessment, but, you know, like I said, I think it's virtually impossible to any kind of definitive factual explanation. I think, you know, we're all left to just conjecture as to what's going on.
My conclusion is that they would not be growing poppy at all if the U.S. military had not invaded. They would have continued to prohibit the growth, and they would have gone on to produce food for their country that they could have sold that would have actually benefited more than the people in the international drug community.
Well, I think left to their own devices, that's probably what they would do. But one of the interesting things is that I visited there. Is when I was down in Helmand province, the capital of Helmand is a town called Lashkargah, and to the west of there is a town called Marja, and there was one of the largest battles that was fought in Afghanistan a few years back in 2010 was fought in Marja, but it turns out Marja is one of the richest poppy-growing regions of Afghanistan, and the reason it is because when the U.S. was there in the late 50s and 60s, right up until the mid 70s, and we built this massive irrigation project there, and this was part of the Cold War push to try to convince the Afghans to be part of the U.S. as opposed to the Soviet, siding with the Soviets. And it ended up being a kind of a miserable failure because of the quality of the soil there was very poor. But we ended up building these huge irrigation canals, which are still used today. And these irrigation canals are used to grow poppies.
How convenient.
It's an interesting, interesting and ironic a reality, which is the
or,
whole situation.
Or maybe a predictable one, a planned
a predictable one. Maybe. Who knows?
Oh, my. All righty. We are going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Sherry, you can stay over if you have another question.
Yes, I do.
Okay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have Peter Eichstadt with us. And Sherry, you had another question?
Well, I remember in researching 9/11 that there somebody had uncovered an article in a paper, and I think it was in July of 2001, that our military was already gearing up to go into Afghanistan. Do you remember that?
In July of 2001.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading an article that was online, you know, in a paper, but that somebody had uncovered. But when my son was over there, he said that you did not walk except where they had, you know, they had pathways where you walked. That's why I was asking you about the landmines. You know,
yeah,
because
well,
it was, they said that it was an incredible number of landmines, so many that I couldn't believe they really could have put that many down. But that's what they said, that the Soviets put a lot down, but that could be propaganda too.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, I encountered that a lot when I was first there in 2004, and it wasn't just the Soviets. When the Soviets, you know, they scanned it, you know, they were so frustrated at the resistance that was being provided by the Afghans against the Soviet army that they were very vicious in scattering these landmines all over the place. But then when the Afghan Civil War started, the Afghans started doing it to each other because they got their hands on large supplies of landmines as well. And so, and then even under the Taliban, there was some use of landmines. So there's been years and years in various factions of people using that, using them all over the place. And it's been a big problem in some areas for U.S. servicemen. You know, just walking up a hill someplace and two or three guys, you know, they don't realize that they're encountering a minefield. And I know there's war photographers and journalists have also suffered having stepped on mines and lost limbs. But one of the things that I can relate to you, which ties back to Afghanistan also, we were talking about natural resources there. One of the main reasons this large copper mine has not, south of Kabul, hasn't been developed yet by the Chinese is because of mines. And the Soviets had scattered mines all over this site. The Soviets did a lot of testing of copper in this area well before they left. And a lot of the data that proved that there was a huge reserve of copper there is because of the research that the Soviets did. Anyway, they scattered mines all over the area. And so what the holdup for the processing has been... the holdup for the development of copper there and the launching of the mining there is because of mines or landmines. And they're still in the process of removing those so that the development or exploitation of the copper can proceed.
What's the latest technology, and is there any any technology at all, even the old ways of how do you find these and explode them without hurting anybody?
Well, you have it's a very labor intensive, time consuming process, and the mine clearing crews that do this have to do, you know, they do it the old style. They take a knife or a probe, a metal probe, and you poke, you know, every couple of inches into the ground until you come with something. And these guys that do this, they are on their hands and knees, and they wear all this protective clothing, you know, masks, helmets that protect their, you know, everything. You know, there's like this very thick padding with this Kevlar material on the outside. And that they do this 8 hours a day, and you have to do it, you know, inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard. I mean, that's the only way to do it. The reason is that the landmines now are made of plastic, and they have only a very, very small, very, very minuscule amount of metal in them, and that's why you can't just use a metal detector to find these things.
That's very interesting.
You'd think they'd go to the trouble of use their satellites, if it's worth it to get at these resources to see if they could, you know, if they can find oil with a satellite.
Oh, they can find anything with
oil. They ought to be able to map those with a satellite anyway.
Sure.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye. I think that they probably have a pretty good idea. They, meaning the elite, have a pretty good idea of where most of the resources are. And they're certainly not going to invade countries that are lacking in resources. Which brings us to your book on the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Your book, which is called
Consuming the Congo.
Congo,
yeah.
War and Conflict Minerals in the World's Deadliest Place. So here we are again, another country that people are invading, the military are invading, in order to extract minerals. Only in the Congo, there's other factors, such as the children, which is just a terrible situation. And that the children are involved in warfare, but there's gold, there's There's all kind. There's diamonds. There's oil. There's all kinds of resources there. In fact, I think it's probably one of the richest areas in the entire world.
Yeah, well, it's very, it's extremely mineral rich, and it's one of the interesting things that it's been well known for, you know, well over 100, almost 150 years about the rich mineral resources in the Congo. And, you know, as we know, the Belgians began exploiting that early on, but it's this exploitation has continued, you know, ever since in varying degrees. And it's one of the interesting aspects of the Afghan war is that only now that as the U.S. and international community are preparing to withdraw, that all of the vast amount of natural resources is finally coming to light. But yeah, I certainly, I'm really full of dismay at the thought that we could end up with a situation in Afghanistan that's similar to what's happened in the Congo, where you have this extremely corrupt regime, you have basically a lawless society which allows for this pretty much unbridled exploitation by various organizations, groups, and individuals of the resources there that end up supplying critical materials to the corporate world, and
right.
the people that suffer, of course, are the miners and their families. They suffer not only in extremely dangerous conditions, which are absolutely primitive conditions under which this ore is mined in eastern Congo. Children have to participate in the mining, but then the families, and the women in particular, are subject to, brutal treatment and rape by the militias and the armed groups that try to control the mines.
Right.
And so it's just a terrible situation.
You mentioned the Chinese are in Afghanistan, and the Chinese were actually also in the Congo early on, because Herbert Hoover, who worked for the Rothschild family, suggested importing Chinese laborers into the Congo, and that's what he did. He put ads in the newspaper in China because he had connections in China, because he was over in China exploiting their resources. When they discovered that there was gold and other things to be had in the Congo. And so,
yeah, well, that's the Chinese are by far the largest entity working right now in China. They've secured contracts by one way or another, none of which I've very few people say that any of it's been done legally or above the board. But they now are like the major contractor with the Congolese government for the exploitation of resources there. And we didn't get into the details, but I was suggesting I argue in my book is that these measures that have been taken to try to control what are called conflict minerals, or like the equivalent of blood diamonds there, these efforts to curtail the corporate, international corporate use of these minerals has in fact, instead of improving the situation in Eastern Congo, it's essentially backfired, and it's worsened the situation in Eastern Congo by limiting the number of people who are actually buying. And as a result of that, the Chinese buyers have stepped in, and they're now taking advantage of this new black market that's been created there. And this has been documented by these United Nations experts that have been, following the exploitation of resources in Eastern Congo.
Well, it certainly is a place that has been an area of conflict and torture and slave labor and brutality for the longest time.
It's one of the unfortunate claims to fame of the of Eastern Congo is that it's become known as the rape capital of the world. And it's simply because of the vicious competition that takes place among these various armed groups. And like we talked about the last week when we discussed it, is that these armed groups are supported by various countries in the region, specifically Rwanda and Uganda, and some of the other countries in the area who are also like Zambia's gotten involved and Tanzania, and they support these armed groups, and so these armed groups are able to facilitate the illegal exploitation, but also exporting of or smuggling. It's the better term, smuggling all these minerals across the borders and out of the country, and these all end up one way or another into the hands of the international electronics companies and other corporations that have need for these minerals.
Right. Now, rape is a part of warfare, and we rarely hear about the rape that goes on in Iraq and Afghanistan by the military forces there. And There was rape during World War II. There's probably rape during Vietnam and elsewhere. But I know there's rape certainly of even the U.S. military women who are in Afghanistan, who are mostly in Iraq. That many of the women there who are with the U.S. military suffer rape at the hands of their fellow soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And also, I don't know if you saw, there was an article recently about the serious issue of rape at the U.S. military academies. You know, it's been a problem at the Air Force Academy, which I'm familiar with because it's so close to here. It's just south of Denver in Colorado Springs. But it isn't just restricted to the active duty military. It's a deeper problem, and it's a whole another can of worms, as they say. You know, if you want to talk about why that is, and the attitudes and opinions and status of that gives. Let's people, or let's men think that they have the right to do that.
Right. I just don't get that at all. Is it? And of course, it's always about power. It's never about sex, particularly when you're talking about war and rape during warfare. I think that, well, since time immemorial, I think this happened during all the, 2,000 years ago that the women in any country that has been subjected are always subjected to rape by the victors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what actually gives us a chance to circle back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the program, which was this the woman that was attacked by the Taliban. The Pakistan woman who was just released from the hospital.
Yes, yes.
But it's the same kind of thing where women certainly in these Islamic societies have been, at least in the fundamentalist aspects, have been relegated to not just a secondary role, but a very deep secondary role in society. And any efforts, any movements them to challenge the status quo as determined by some of these fundamentalists is met with violence. This young woman Pakistani woman, of course, was shot. You know, they tried to kill her. You know, there's been other incidents occurred when, you know, when I was there and before I was back in Afghanistan, where women who were had the nerve to challenge fundamentalist dogma were, you know, had acid thrown in their face, which I think is just a brutal, vicious, you know, and of course, a disfiguring act.
Right. Terrible, terrible, terrible. All righty, we are going to our last break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Peter Eichstadt. His websites are petereichstadt.com and petereichstadt.blogspot.com. And we've been talking about a couple of his books today, If You Poison Us, Uranium, and Native Americans, which was written several years ago, but is still very applicable to what's going on in other countries. Apparently started out in our own country. Above the Din of War, a book that is going to be out or is out, and you can certainly get it at Amazon, Above the Din of War, Afghans Speak About Their Lives, Their Country, and Their Future, and Why America Should Listen. And, of course, we do want them to listen and understand what is going on in their name, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I really was excited about, being able to write this book because, I felt like the voice of the Afghan people had really never been heard, and it's been really, for the past 10 to 12 years, and it's really an unfortunate situation because I think without the support of Afghan people, I think our whole any hope of walking away from that country, leaving that country in any kind of condition better than when we found it is lost.
Oh, absolutely. The U.S. military have gone over and destroyed homes. The infrastructure, how was the infrastructure when you were there?
Well, there was that's, if there's any kind of bright spot, I mean, there's been a lot built, and certainly Kabul, the capital there, is looks to be in better shape. A lot of the destroyed and damaged buildings from the Civil War have been cleaned up and rebuilt. There's new lot of large new boulevards have been paved, but cosmetically, there's been some improvement. But like I said, the big frustration and what angers the Afghan people the most is that their daily lives really haven't improved much. They're no better off in terms of economics, and they're very, very terrified with the international community leaving, because estimates are up to 90% of the Afghan community or Afghan economy is based on foreign aid. And if we begin withdrawing our troops, certainly foreign aid is a major part of that. And they have nowhere else to turn. They're going to go back to subsistence farming and raising and dependency on the opium crop.
Well, just seems like a hopeless situation.
It's a very, very frustrating time for me. But like I said, I wanted to give voice. I wanted to talk to average Afghans and at least let their voice be heard. For anyone who was interested in listening, and that's to me, it's very revealing, because all the issues that we've talked about come to light. Their distrust of the international community, their skepticism about the reasons for our war there, it's all there. It all comes out.
Right. Well, thank you so very much, Peter, for all of your work and for being on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.